I mean.
April 13th, 2023, Manhattan Community Board 10. The fourth item on the agenda is 5G.
Or if, does anyone have any questions?
Yes, I do. I was going to raise my hand, but then you called on me anyways.
Yeah, I saw you about to say something.
Thank you. Yes, thank you so much. Thank you so much, John, for sharing and just walking us through, you know, your business. This is really exciting to see. And, you know, I think, again, this is a really good example of innovation here in Harlem. And entrepreneurs that are really able to make things happen. I think on the flip side, again, this is another example of an increasing issue that we have in terms of increased costs in terms of leasing, renting, et cetera. So my question for you, John, you know, the way you explained it, it sounds as though it was a fairly simple process of a light bulb going off in your head. You saw an accessor ride and you said, I want to do that. And I see you nodding your head. Can you talk more about how you were actually able to get from, you know, wanting to have a mobile barbershop to actually making it come to fruition?
You see me wiping the sweat off my head, right? So the reason why I'm wiping the sweat off my head like that, because as simple as it sounds, it definitely wasn't that simple. In 2016, 15 is when my barbershop closed that I just showed y'all. It took me about 2.5-3 years to actually put it together. And even when I opened up, because I'm not a mechanic, I'm not a carpenter, I'm not a, I got solar panels on my roof, so that's how I'm running power. So I run power through solar panels that goes to batteries that's set up behind this wall right here. So I have my power, this is my power set up right here. I press this button right here and it turns everything on. But when I opened up, it was very challenging. I was actually homeless again, because not only was the rent on the storefronts a lot, but just trying to, as a barber, it's hard for us to get an apartment because we don't have regular pay stubs. So when people ask about if our credit isn't good and we don't have pay stubs, it becomes an issue. So in the process of while I was building the bus, I actually was homeless. I stayed in Bellevue shelter for a couple months, slept inside of my second bus. So I slept inside of the first bus. I slept in there for a couple months. I opened up the bus. I worked in the bus. I stayed at my mother's house, God rest her soul. She actually just passed away. I couldn't give up. So as much as it probably sounds easy the way I said it, it wasn't. I can tell you the nights in it. I actually have a book on Amazon, by the way. It's called How to Build a Mobile Barbershop. And everybody asks me, is it about building a mobile barbershop? It is, but it's not. It's more about my struggle on everything that I went through to just go open up a mobile barbershop. So now here I go now. 3-4 years later, not only am I sitting here with this, but I have that. So my objective now is to just, I'm trying to build the generational wealth for my family, but I'm also trying to teach the youth that entrepreneurship is something that's obtainable. You just got to have the will and the drive to want to do such. Mm-hmm. I'm working on a nonprofit right now called Helping Harlem. It's called Harlem Entrepreneur Leadership Program. And I'm just, you know, every day is a struggle. Every day I wake up, it's a struggle. Actually, the young kid that I don't mean to bring this up in this meeting, but the young kid that did the shooting inside of the, on 25th, was one of my clients. And it hurts my heart because the kid used to come here and sit down and all he would ask me for is advice, and I would give him advice. Right. And he would ask me different things and keep asking me things. And I feel like I failed him because I didn't give him what he was asking for. So this is why I sit here where I'm at every day. This is why I do the events that I do for the homeless or Malcolm Marcus. They book me for all kinds of events and I come out to because I know how it is to be from this community. I'm born and raised. I was born in Harlem Hospital, raised over by St. Nicholas Projects. I'm from 130th Street. I was one of the troubled youth out here that became something, you know, that grew up and decided to do something better with themselves. So that's why I do everything right here in the same community that I'm from.
Thank you so much for that, John. I have another question if there's still time.
Very quick.
Okay. Thank you so much for that, John. I guess my next question for you is, you know, as you mentioned, there are a lot of entrepreneurs, but it isn't always as easy for some as it is for others. What's one piece of advice that you would offer to someone else that, you know, has had a dream of actually making their business come to fruition, but hasn't necessarily been able to? What's one piece of advice that you would offer?
It'll be the chapter two in my book. It's called The Ledge. I will tell people to walk straight to the ledge and just jump. Don't worry about the fall. God got hold of the fall. Just jump off of that ledge. The moment that you jump off of that ledge, you never know what could happen. I had to take the opportunity to jump. I was petrified to step into this. I was like, it wasn't going to work. All my fears, all my doubts, everything that I can't even explain it, but everything was telling me not to, and something inside of me just kept saying, do it. And so that's why I say I would tell them to jump off the ledge, because you never know if your wings going to spread unless you jump off that ledge.
All right. Thank you so much. And really, we pray for your continued success, and that we don't want you on ledges now that you know that you can fly. But thanks a lot. And if you can put your information in the chat so someone can contact you if they have any further questions, if they're looking to book a mobile barber. So put that in the chat. I know the next portion of our discussion is really to discuss the 5G towers that's being proposed in our district. And we're going to be presenting a letter. And so this will be a voting item later on. Daniel Patterson is our point person as it relates to the 5G tower. So do you want to take over the discussion, Daniel? And then I will, once you cue me, I can share the letter if you wish.
Okay. Just a little backstory. So OTI has introduced the idea of putting 5G towers to build digital access and to build technology in several locations in the Harlem community. They have also taken this to other community boards. I met with one group called Cefetus, which also included several community boards from the East Side and Community Board 9, 6, and several others. But there just seems to be a real question mark in a lot of people's heads about how this all came about and how they seem to be almost bulldozing this idea into building the cell towers. So just to speed it up a little, so we put together a letter pretty much kind of reflecting our position on the cell towers and really pretty much why we weren't either brought to a better awareness about this issue, educated about what it does and how it's applicable to the benefit of the community, and why it just seems that we haven't gotten more information.
So this is the letter, and you, Shatik will send it out to everyone so you can see the letter, but we wanted to at least go over it, and if there are any comments from the community specifically, because the next phase, we would like to vote on it, and then the next phase, we would bring it to the EC and to the full board. To the full board as well. So I'll read read the letter as it consists right now. It really reads, Community Board 10 is aware that there is currently a move to install Link NYC 5G and other 5G infrastructure, which are 32-foot tall 5G transmitting towers as part of NYC's effort to expand internet access. Though the goal of expanded internet access is commendable and could modernize many industries and possibly bridge the digital divide, we believe that more information is needed to determine the potential hazards of placement of such devices in densely concentrated areas. We question the rollout and the process. We are particularly concerned with the site selection and community input process. There was little communication with local residents and or media, therefore no transparency. Residents have not been educated before being informed of placement sites, nor have they been given any awareness on the merits or hazards of such an imposing and potentially harmful structure. In addition to these concerns, the structures are not aesthetically pleasing, and they prevent pedestrian flow in the proposed locations. More research must be completed to determine a less intrusive means to access this advanced technology. Residents express a great concern due to health risk. It is believed that 5G is so new, there hasn't been time to properly test whether it's safe. There is limited scientific analysis on the potential impacts of densely concentrated areas of 5G in populated sites or on chronic 5G exposure. It must be noted that the radio frequency that 5G uses is higher than the previous iterations of wireless communications, including 4G and 3G. This is a cause for great alarm, primarily because the potential dangers are unknown and the insufficient research is problematic. Environmental impact studies, specifically in densely concentrated areas, should be conducted immediately. Community Board 10 has received the following outstanding questions, concerns from our constituents, and call on OTI to hold on any 5G transmitting towers installations are met, and we'll clean up that a little bit. But one question, we have 11 questions. One question is, what is the difference between Link NYC versus Link 5G? What were the NYC Link proposals done? When were they done and implemented? What maintenance and updating is involved with Link NYC? Second question, what are all the proposed sites for installations within our district and the adjoining district CB 9 and 11? And how were they chosen? Third is, please explain what is a bay and their placement. What do the bays provide information about and what is it used for? How does the Harlem, the fourth is, how does the Harlem community benefit from this? What other communities have been approached with this technology and what were their responses? Fifth is, are there any MWBEs involved with this project? Six is, what are the dates and times of the community sessions held during the development of the project? And seventh is, are you internet service provider, an ISP? And what sponsors, companies are involved with this project? The ninth question is, what economic initiatives are involved with this type of project? And the 10th is, are there any other businesses that have a track record with this technology? And the final question is, what oversight will the community have on the project? And Community Board 10 calls for a public hearing where these and other questions can be addressed. So that's the letter that we are presenting to the board, to the ECHO DEF tonight. And again, if you have questions, concerns, please bring them up at this time. So the community board, ECHLA Deaf Board, is there any questions or concerns? And you should have it. I believe Shatik is sending it out to you, and if he hasn't done so already. So first we'll hear from community board members if they have questions, concerns about what was presented. If there's any language that you propose shifting. All right, I see no hand. Sean?
Yeah, I was gonna simply say, I like the way it reads, and I particularly like the questions that are being asked, because a lot of those questions were not asked prior to this. All we heard was, we are sticking XYZ in your neighborhood. So I do like what I've read or what I've seen thus far.
Well, thank you, Daniel, for that. Any other board members with questions about what was read, concerns? All right, that said, if the community has any questions, concerns in reference to the letter, this is a good time to bring it up at this point. Mr. Banks.
Thank you. And I don't know, tonight, this is my favorite subject. So I'm excited, I'm on the call. I'm Clayton Banks. I'm the CEO of Silicon Harlem. And deep in technology, deep in these particular topics. And I just wanted to add, if I didn't see it in the litany of questions, one of the questions I might think about is, what happened with Link NYC? Right, if there's Link NYC on a lot of the streets, even probably most of them in Harlem, but you know, what was the difference between the Link NYC kiosks and these big 32-foot devices? When I walk by a lot of those Link NYC kiosks, and of course they're more focused on, you know, ads and things on the screen, but you can also get an internet connection from it. You can do phones, all this stuff. So what is the problem with that? What are they replacing that with these big poles? And more importantly, I think there's not been a lot of maintenance of those things. If you walk by some of those kiosks, they're dirty. Some of them are not even working. You know, people have peed on them. I mean, what is going on here? Is that going to be the same thing with that? I would just add that to that list that you have, which is a great list. So I just want to put my two cents on. I'm not throwing anybody under the car, but I'm saying, gee, let's at least be honest about everything we're doing here. So I'm just throwing that out for you guys to consider.
Okay, well, thank you for that.
Thank you.
All right. Odette, Ms. Wilkins?
Yes, hi, thank you. Hi, everyone. I'm President and General Counsel of Wired Broadband. I believe I've been here before and spoken. I think that's it's an excellent letter. And by the way, I'm a technology attorney, so I just thought that was very well thought out. Calling for a public hearing is exactly what we need, because there was no public hearing on this. There was no real community discourse or community input. That is what we really need. So beautiful. I think you're the very first community board who is recommending that. And I think that's a great idea. The other thing is that I just wanted to bring up to you that where the towers are going to be placed, there's an insufficient fall zone. So they can place them as close as they want to a structure. So that means that, you know, it can crash into somebody's home or onto pedestrians or whatever if there's any kind of structural failure. And you don't want that. Usually there's a fall zone around the tower so that it prevents any damage or personal injury in the event of structural collapse, because sometimes they do collapse. And also, there doesn't seem to have been a EULRP process on this. It seems to have been exempted from EULRP on some level. I'm not sure, we're still looking into it. And also, it's not clear that the Department of City Planning actually approved this project before the solicitation or the request for proposals in order to do the Link 5G structures. So there's a lot of procedural questions here. And then there's, of course, the issue of economic equity. When you look at how the federal government classifies cell towers, the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development classifies cell towers as nuisances and hazards. And the Federal Housing Administration is not permitted to give out mortgages to homes that are within the fall zone of a cell tower. If these are constructed, therefore, close to a building or whatever, and then they want to perhaps get federal mortgage assistance, they're not going to be able to get it. And how does that serve economic equity?
All right. Well, thank you for those. We really appreciate it. And does anyone else have any comments or concerns? Sue?
Yes, just have a comment. Thank you, everybody, for that letter. It's wonderful. Just something I've learned from other community boards. If you reach out for help from your elected officials, please make sure they get in writing back from the Mayor's Office of Technology and Innovation to put whatever they say in writing, not just what they say on the phone. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for that. We have someone on the phone. I don't see a name, but you raised your hand, so you may please identify yourself and then speak.
Hi. My name is Jill McManus, and I'm a member of the New Yorkers for Wired Tech. The question about the equity districts is quite interesting, how they were chosen and what benefit this project is going to be to the people, because they're going to get wireless build out, but they're not going to get fiber to the premises, which is long lasting and doesn't have to be changed and adapted every 5 years or replaced. It's faster, it's more secure, and it should be fiber to the premises, in fact, to the device, so that school kids are able to get steady, good service for their work businesses. So I don't see the benefit if you can't afford a 5G cell phone and monthly charges to be a member phone system. It's going to do most of the people in those areas. That's one question. Also, no agency is monitoring the... I'm having trouble hearing myself. No agency is monitoring the aggregate amounts of radiation we're being exposed to involuntarily in the streets, and we know exposure is cumulative. Our kids are sitting in classrooms for many hours a day in Wi-Fi hotspots and being allowed to use cell phones and laptops at home. Now, the placement of the poles has on occasion been right near a school in the city, going up all over the city. There was a study in New Hampshire that spent a year looking at the health impacts of poles and towers and emanations, and they decided that 1,640 feet was the tolerable setback from a school. We see them being right out in front or just diagonally placed from a school. This is ridiculous. We have to think about our kids because they're vulnerable and they're going to have longer exposures than we adults had to these rays. We already know from peer-reviewed scientific and military studies that exposure to radio frequency causes all these effects. It's assured. Insomnia, headaches. No, do you know these effects already? Should I run through them?
No, thank you. But we appreciate that. I think one of the things that we put in the letter specifically is for them to, in terms of the monitoring, that we probably make some adjustments to as it relates to the letter is, and that came up, I think, in February, was who is monitoring the radiation. And I know that they said the FCC, and they are going to do regular testing, but they did not have a schedule for that. So We will make, we will actually create another question specifically as it relates to that. So, but we do appreciate you being here tonight.
Bear in mind, though, that the FCC, not only are their guidelines under question from that.
No, I know, they're old. Right.
But they are not monitoring, and they have confessed right. that they don't have the staff to do so.
Right. I think that came up, I think, in the last conversation as well.
Oh, great. Okay. Well, you all are very on top of things, and that letter is terrific, and I hope you get some answers. We haven't.
Well, we have every intent to. So appreciate your being here. Does anyone else have any questions, concerns? Because it is going to be a voting item in a few minutes. Okay, that said, we will move on with our agenda if there's no other questions. So our first, we have several SLA.
Julie, I think Julie has a question.
Oh, I'm sorry, Julie.
Thank you so much. I just, it is a wonderful letter and you don't really need anything more, but I did want to mention that also the environmental assessment statement was kind of tagged on to the old Link New York EAS. So that seems kind of like a false equivalency, and why did they do that? And also, as Jill had brought up about the fiber, wondering why Verizon built it out as a public utility wires, and then they kind of claimed it for themselves, and they're trying to push everyone onto wireless. And why they're kind of like slipping that public asset into private hands. And I wonder why are those wires considered off limits? And if Verizon can't complete the fiber, perhaps smaller fiber companies should be given the opportunity. That's another question. And just one pet peeve I have, they often say they won't build it out more than one per block, but then they also say, and it will only be on one side of the block. What does that mean? I don't quite get that. It's kind of like this strange doublespeak that they have. Maybe they'll clear it up. Maybe it's worth asking, maybe not. But thank you so much. It's a wonderful letter.
Okay. Mr. Banks, I saw you nodding. Was there something else that you needed to address?
Well, actually, for someone like me who's been around for a while in all of this space, I couldn't be more thrilled. This has been great to hear. I thought I was the only one talking about these things. So I think to your point, Julie, you know, that's happening in Harlem quite a bit, where there's, you know, fiber on one side of the street and the other fiber is not. I mean, that, they got sued for that. Literally, the city sued for that, and then the city settled for it. They went on and did more. But here's the good news, just to your last comment, is that the state, so from Hochul's office, is looking to talk to landlords and say if they want to get fiber to their buildings, since the big guys are not playing, you know, fun with everybody. In other words, I can't use their fiber, you can't use their fiber. So the governor is looking at it and saying, well, wait a minute, people may still want fiber to their building. So she's actually putting an RFP out for folks to go ahead and get that process, and then they could choose the ISP they want to run on that infrastructure, which I would love to be that person. So anyway, I'm glad you brought that up. You know, it's tied to everything. So I'm glad you did that.
Okay. Well, thanks everyone for that discussion. Let us move into the SLA applicants. We have, I believe, if you have not checked in, if you're an applicant, can you please direct message myself or